So I want to say one last thing about social hold-ons that are very, very important, and it's the reason why a social hold-on itself is not an organism, and it's why it's not composed of organisms. So and that's why the web of life is a very, very confusing notion if you don't take it very carefully. We sometimes loosely say that a social hold-on is composed, and by composed I mean loosely, of individual hold-ons plus their artifacts. So, but in a structured way. So this is a social hold-on because it's our individual organisms, and we're exchanging artifacts, in this case language. We're exchanging tokens, signifiers, in an attempt to convey meaning. And here's the very important distinction. And Nicholas Luhmann, L-U-H-M-A-N-N, the brilliant, brilliant systems theorist who just recently died, and he and Jürgen Habermas were in probably the most fruitful intellectual debate of the last 20 or 30 years. They both had enormous respect for each other, and I think our knowledge of systems theory and social psychology was advanced enormously by what these two men did to sort of egg each other on and bring out the best potential in both of them. Nicholas Luhmann pointed out that a social system is not composed of organisms, it's composed of the communication between the organisms. And that's a very important point, because he's using composed in a strong sense, made of. So if we take something like an amoeba, or a deer, let's take a deer. A deer is made of, it has parts. It's made of molecules and cells and two kidneys and a heart and two lungs and so on. And those are actual internal components of the deer. And all individual hold-ons have those kinds of internal components or actual parts. You can actually speak of parts that way. You can say this cell is a part of this deer. But societies don't have that. They don't. You and I are not internal to one big organism. And that's because social hold-ons don't have an I. As we said before, they have a we, not an I. And you can see this in the flock of geese. Each individual geese, considered as an individual hold-on, which it is, has a dominant monad. So if one geese turns left, then 100% of its molecules turn left with it. But there's no dominant eye in the flock that if the eye decides something, all of the geese 100% of the time do exactly what it says. There's no dominant super geese that controls all the other geese. It's a collective. It's a society. Most of the time, when the leader says turn left, they'll turn left. But every now and then you see the Jerry Lewis guy turn right, you know, and he's just not quite with the show. That's because there are no strings hooking them all together. There's no cell membrane around a social hold-on holding it into one place. And it doesn't have a dominant eye. Now, what a social hold-on, and that was Nicholas Luhmann's important point, and he was correcting Varela and Maturana, because Varela and Maturana had done really well talking about individual cells and so on being autopoietic or self-structuring individuals. But they were wrong when they tried to say a society was a second-order autopoietic system, that individuals were parts of society. And that's when Luhmann blew the whistle on them, and both Habermas and Luhmann agree on that, and I totally agree with them. Social hold-on is not an individual hold-on. It doesn't have an I. So what a social hold-on does have is an individual hold-on has a dominant monad. A social hold-on has a dominant mode of discourse or a dominant mode of communication. And that's very important because we can talk about it with flocks of geese, but we can also talk about it with flocks of human beings or societies of human beings. And that dominant mode of discourse is what tends to marginalize modes of discourse that don't fit the dominant mode. And with that understanding, we're plugged directly into the great postmodernists, particularly Foucault, who would analyze structures of discourse as dominant modes of power and knowledge. And so it's a seamless fit with what a lot of the great postmodernists have said. And it stops us from thinking, though, of a social hold-on as itself being an individual organism, because it isn't. And so the dominant mode of communication or the dominant mode of discourse is not necessarily a bad thing. Whether it's geese flying or a tribe hunting or a society getting along, you have to be on the same wavelength in order to survive as a unit. So where is a social holon located? Only the exterior, the lower right. You can spot that in the sensorimotor world. And so you can see the flock of geese, you can see a town, you can see a school of fish, and so on. But the interior, the cultural lower left, and the interior eye, you can't put your finger on. Those exist in spaces of mutual understanding and consciousness, and not in spaces of three-dimensional geometry. So why don't I stop there, and if people have some questions on any of that, I'll be glad to circle around on it.